Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
We're in the bye week. That's a good thing. That's also a bad thing because it means there's no football this week for the Patriots. But it's still a good thing. And we'll talk about it being a good thing coming up here inside Patriots Playbook for a Wednesday. And good afternoon, everyone. John Rook. And we have Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly.
Hey, JR.
And we have you. Tell us about the trip.
Oh,
we need the update.
Oh,
we need
boy.
The what do they call it?
Debrief?
The debrief. The journey debriefing. That would be good. We need a journey debriefing.
Wow. It was a great time. I mean, from the moment we got there till the moment we left. It was a little rushed toward the end there because of the storm and the uncertainty about when we were going to come back. But, pump up the volume a little bit there. Here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now you need to talk in your Brit accent.
It was smashing, John. It was absolutely smashing.
Jolly good show.
Brilliant effort by the lads on the pitch. Wonderful hospitality by the folks at the lovely Grosvenor House and Park Lane.
We completely offended our entire UK Patriots audience.
No, I already did that. Did that a long time ago.
You did that? All right. So it was a pretty good trip.
Oh, fabulous.
Better
than the last time.
Game notwithstanding,
it was better than the last better than the last time. But partially because I knew a little bit more where I was going, what I was doing. That helped a little bit, add to it. Met a girl there, too.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Very interesting.
Do tell.
Yeah, I don't want to go too
into it, but... come on. No, you're not getting away. You can't drop that on this show without giving a little detail. Let's go.
What are you doing over there? No, stop with that. It wasn't like that at all.
Yeah.
Stop. No.
Hey now. Oh my. Hoorah.
No, stop it. Very innocent. Very innocent. Got a tweet from someone asking a question about the Patriots. I responded. Yeah. Very cute.
Really?
Got a response back. Kind of saying that she was new in town, had just moved from the Boston area. And so we kind of met up later that day.
Really?
This was the first day I got there.
And, in England, in London?
Yeah, first day. Like within hours
and
of
she
touching
had just
down.
Relocated from Boston to London?
About a month ago, she said.
Really?
Yeah.
What does she do?
She's in the restaurant management / promotion business industry.
So she'd be over there running a restaurant or something?
A restaurant group.
Okay.
You know, like the not just one place, but like the... You know, like Pinelli Mara back in Rhode Island, where they have a bunch of restaurants, and she's in charge of like promotion and events, big-time things like that. So we met, had a great time, spent a lot of time throughout the weekend together, and I've been in constant communication ever since.
Now, is she coming back over to this side of the pond at some point, or are you going to have to go over there and see her now?
I mean, it's a little early to tell, but... Who knows? Maybe both.
Wow.
We'll see.
A little transatlantic relationship.
Possibly.
We've made a love connection.
Possibly.
In the Patriots playbook, we've made a love we made a love connection. Oh.
Yeah.
I like it.
Ay.
It's all good. All right. Congrats.
Thanks.
That's nice. That's very nice. And other than that, the game was really good.
And did you see? And the game. Yeah, the game was great.
The game was pretty good.
The game was. I mean, phenomenal, especially
smashing.
For our fans. Did you happen to see the? This is the cover of this week's PFW.
Oh yeah, the Gronk.
With Gronk. Yeah.
Yeah. The Gronk hip gyration.
The gyration one.
Not that. Why didn't you choose the other one?
I don't know.
Because that was the one where he's talking about.
Because I think it looks like more like he's making love to something in this one than it does in the other one.
Okay. Well, that's good. I thought that the changing of the guard
was
hilarious.
Awesome. And International Love was Andy and Paul's pick.
Yeah.
My contribution was Double Decker, and with the subhead being, you know, second straight blowout in London, mm-hmm. the Patriots.
Yeah.
Freddie wanted Tower of London with a picture of Gronk spiking the first one.
Right.
You know,
right.
with the...
Right.
So, but Andy and Paul had to get the final say because they were here, and we were kind of rushing to get the paper because of the storm. And
gotcha.
Had
yeah.
to print a little bit earlier than we right. anticipated, so... But yeah, that was the
what was the right. because of the speaking of the storm and yeah. by the way, obviously we're all back in operation here.
Yep.
And in fact, the power was back up here in Foxborough and at Gillette Stadium yesterday morning. But what was the ride home like? Because I know that had to have changed a couple of times so you guys could get in really before the storm hit the Northeast.
It was a smooth flight because you know we were coming across the Atlantic and there wasn't you know the storm wasn't affecting. Winds or anything, visibility mm-hmm. like that, that far out. Normally, it's quicker to go from East Coast to Europe because of the jet stream and going across, and it's usually longer coming back. We burned rubber coming back. We made it in 6 hours flat.
You got sucked into the vortex of that hurricane.
Well, I don't know, but we were flying. No, but that was at the beginning when they were about to take off. This
yeah.
the pilot, our flight time is anticipated yeah. to be.
Right.
They said 6 hours, and
wow.
I tell you what, 6 hours, and we were there.
Really?
On the nose.
What time did you guys leave London time?
We wheels up 9:45. And we were on the ground at Logan safe and sound 11:45 Eastern. So with the 4 hours. Monday morning, yeah.
Wow.
Right before noon. The flight was fine. It was perfect. The only slight rocking we experienced was when we were starting to descend into the clouds right into Boston. Just a momentary little like shudder.
Yeah, yeah.
And then smoothed right out. And the landing was, you know, it was windy and rainy at that point. So it was a little bit of a... You know, a little bit of a bounce, a little bit of a hard at landing mm-hmm. at first, but nothing as far as like
nothing
the,
startling though that really disturbed
we've had,
anybody.
Let me tell you, we've had
worse.
We've had far worse flights as far as turbulence and far worse landings, far okay. worse.
Well, that's good.
We were very fortunate.
So that's
very
that fortunate. Sounds like everybody made out okay. Then.
Can't thank Virgin Atlantic enough for the hospitality while we were at Heathrow waiting mm-hmm. to take off
because, mm-hmm.
and also just they're accommodating us 4 hours earlier than they had thought they were going to have to.
So you guys were actually not scheduled to leave until later that afternoon?
London time,
okay.
And then, yeah, when, actually, no, yeah, it was about noon London time is about when we were supposed to leave, okay. noonish, in the noon hour.
Mm-hmm. On Monday.
Right, right, and we were supposed mm-hmm. to get back to Gillette at about 5:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern, and we got in to Gillette a little after 1:15 or so, and
okay.
I was home by 2.
Got in ahead of the right as the storm
right
was
as the storm was
laying
was coming in, yep. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, my neighborhood, no power loss, no flooding, no significant down tree damage or anything like that.
And same
really,
here.
Very really, lucky. Really thankful for the whole thing.
We still got, in five figures anyway, customers out in Rhode Island where I am, and there were. I think well over 110, 120,000 customers without mm-hmm. power yesterday. So they've actually made good headway in getting a lot of power back up. But I was one of the lucky ones. I never lost it. So very grateful
oh,
for
yeah.
that. Very
yeah.
grateful.
Because last summer, Irene, remember last August?
Mm-hmm.
National Grid took a lot of heat for their response.
Response time, yeah.
Yeah. So I was anticipating that mm-hmm. when I got home. And... was pleasantly surprised at the outcome.
You know, I don't know if you saw some of the photos and the
oh,
like,
yeah.
but I mean, a couple of the photos from space of Hurricane Sandy were.
Oh,
I
God,
mean,
it was a
monstrous looking storm.
Mm.
In fact, I posted one up on my Facebook page. So if those of you who are Facebook friends, John.Rook, go to the Facebook page and you'll see it. I've got to post up there. It looked a heck of a lot worse than it really was. And I don't mean to downplay it because 39 people did lose their lives in this storm.
And New Jersey and New York and parts of Connecticut are ravaged.
Got hammered.
Yeah.
New Jersey, New York, eastern Pennsylvania, Connecticut, western Connecticut. The Jersey Shore almost disappeared.
Mm.
Almost disappeared. You know, I guess we can say goodbye to Snooki and Jay Wow and the rest of them because it's almost gone there, which is really, it's a tragic thing to have happen on the Jersey Shore. I know that... Last night I did NBC Sports Radio, and I did it from here because their studios in Stamford, Connecticut, which is, you know, just across the border from New York, flooded. And the streets leading to the studio still flooded, and there was no way for any of the talent to get into the studio. So they called and said, hey, can you hook us up? And so we did it from here last night, which was great fun. And they're able to get back in tonight. But, I mean, that it makes you stop and think when, you know, people are that put out. And, you know, the whole Manhattan Island was cut off. In fact, they haven't even opened up. They closed down JFK and LaGuardia, and I think JFK is open today. I think LaGuardia is still closed.
I think so. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I mean, it's quite a mess cleanup.
It surprised me that the actual size of the storm of the what do you call it?
The circumference?
No, the shape of the the whirl.
Yeah.
I can't think of the word.
The shape of the hurricane.
Blank. Yeah. It looked
the
like
round
it should have been
pinwheel looking thing.
It looked like it should have been. Like a cat 4 or 5.
It did. That was the initial impression I had when that photo that I put on my page was making the rounds. I said, this looks way worse than a Category 1 storm. And I think part of it was because of the nor'easter that was coming in from the other direction. And that's what they were talking about, this being a superstorm and how it was colliding on the northeast. And we're very fortunate that, you know, we were in the outlying area, but we were plenty covered by the cloud cover. As it was, I don't know if it was because this is so late in the hurricane season that the water wasn't warm enough. I'm not entirely certain, but at the same time, there were more people without power in this storm overall than there were with Irene. There may not have been quite as much death and destruction, but I guess all things are relative. I mean, one death is too much for something like that. And it was sad to kind of have to go through that yesterday and see people who truly were affected by the storm. This minor inconvenience for us. Minor inconvenience.
And almost no inconvenience, really.
Well, when you consider the Patriots are off this week, there's really no inconvenience at all. It's been affecting, you know, I talked extensively last night about how it's affected the sports world, and it sounds kind of silly to say, well, it's the sports world, but nevertheless.
Big business.
It's big business. It's big commerce, and it's what we do. We talk about sports. This is why we all have jobs here. We talk about it. We write about it. College programs all in the Northeast, especially football teams affected with their practice schedules off this week. High schools closing down because, you know, no school and people trying to batten down the hatches, so to speak, to get through the storm. And then, of course, with the cleanup thereafter. So there was a lot of stuff that was going on here and will continue to go on here for the coming days and weeks until everybody gets their power back. So it has been a messy, messy time in the Northeast, but I consider us extremely fortunate, even though we were on the periphery of the storm.
Yeah.
We got out of it in pretty good shape, so no complaints here.
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever. Part of what we wanted to talk about today, and by the way, because we didn't have our normal Nitpick Tuesday, because we pushed back Patriots Monday to yesterday, for those that might be just tuning in, and the reason is, largely, it was partly because of the storm, but it was mostly because the team was traveling back on Monday, and so a lot of the players couldn't get their guests around, so that's why it was postponed to Tuesday, more so than not. So what we want to do for you today is sort of a two- or a threefold program. We are still going to do game show, but we're gonna do the game show tomorrow. We're gonna push it back a day so we can spend part of today really not only, you know, cleaning up shop and taking stock of where we are, but, you know, to talk some football and to kind of assess where we are at the midway point of the season, because as you all know, Patriots are off this week. It's a bye week. They've played exactly 8 games. They've got 8 more games to go. So really, you couldn't ask for a better spot. You could not ask for a better week in terms of the bye week and having the week off than halfway through your regular season. It is the preeminent, primary, grade A, number one spot that you want to be in, and the Patriots were fortunate to get that this year from the NFL. We will spend the opening hour of our program tomorrow, and we'll do a special edition of Game Show Wednesday on Thursday.
Nice. I'm looking forward to that. We had fun last year doing it.
Yes, we will have Game Show Thursday. We will have prizes to give away. There will be prizes, plural. So you want to make sure that you're tuned in tomorrow, the opening hour. Russell Baxter, of course, as he always does, he will join us on tomorrow's program as well in the second hour of the program.
Employees of the New England Patriots are not eligible.
No, not eligible to win. Sorry.
Sorry.
I don't know. You might want to win this one. It's actually pretty good. Okay, so that will come up tomorrow. But today, a couple of things that we wanted to do. We wanted you to give your midseason grade. I want you to grade, you know, a couple of different categories. I actually want you to feel, I want you to grade whatever you feel appropriate today, because I know, you know, a lot of people want to give the secondary an F. Well, okay, I can understand maybe where you want to go here. So I'm actually going to ask you to grade offense, defense, special teams, okay, and overall. Pick and choose all of them or one of them. Doesn't make any difference. If you don't have any opinion on special teams, well, that's fine. Just leave it alone and don't grade it. Don't give me an incomplete. That doesn't count. You know, it's A, B, C, D, or F,
right.
Okay, on the grading scale.
Teachers always gave you grades in your midterm report card, right?
That's right. This is your chance to give the Patriots, your football team, a midterm report card. So grade offense, grade defense, grade special teams, grade overall. Great overall. And here's the other thing. You remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about overrated players?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about underrated players today. So who, in your opinion, on this Patriots team, halfway through the season, is underrated and underappreciated?
How many different overrated players did you get last week?
I'll have to go back and look. I think
handful.
Yeah, it was about a handful. I'd say we probably had seven or eight overrated players. Seven or eight different players that were mentioned as overrated. And again, this is coming on the heels, mind you. The Patriots were 3-3.
Right.
Have since won two straight games since we asked that question.
Are you anticipating fewer or more underrated players?
I'm anticipating actually about the same number.
Yeah, push.
I think it'll be a push. I think we'll probably be in that six to eight variety. I may be wrong. We'll see what, you know, this little uptick in the last couple of weeks will bring us. But I'm going to anticipate six or seven different names again, kind of like we had 2 weeks ago. Underappreciated, underrated, under the radar New England Patriots players on this 53-person roster. Okay, so hit us up, webradio@patriots.com, the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Pick up the Ace Ticket Hotline and phone it in. Don't mail it in.
No,
phone it in. 508.
Email it in.
You can email it in. You can, but don't regular mail it in because it won't get here in time. 508-298-0398. Again, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. So pick it up, call it. If you want to post it on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, the last name. Put up the friend request on Facebook if you haven't done it, and we'll answer that, and then we can post and chat and do all kinds of good things. And then the Twitter page is at jrook0722, J-R-O-O-K-E 0722. Send me a tweet. Still thinking about trying to change the Twitter handle.
I did mine. Did you see it?
It's E-Scal now?
E underscore Scal.
Yeah. Okay, Scal. All right.
But you don't have to worry about following, or it's the same account. I just changed the name of it.
Okay.
So you're still.
So it's E-Scal?
Yeah, we're still.
We're still buddies?
Yeah.
We're still friends?
Of course.
We're still. Okay. All right.
Don't need to worry about that.
Okay. I'll have to resubscribe to E-Scal.
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
You don't.
All right. Well, that's
you're good.
All.
If,
that's
you're, all. If you did already to PFW Eric, who no longer exists, you're still into E-Scal.
Okay. How do you do that, by the way?
You're just going and change the settings. That's
all you got to do?
Yeah. Okay. It's nothing. It's no.
I'll tell you what I will do. I'll tell you what I'll do.
We'll
do. I'll take nominations for new Twitter name.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So if anybody who's, especially those of you who tweet, and even non-Twitterers, but if you do tweet and you got some suggestions for a new Twitter account name for me, fire away.
Is Rook, R-O-O-K-E, taken?
I believe it is. Just at Rook?
At Rook.
I think it is. It may not be. If it's not, then...
How about Rook E and just put like a couple of E's at the end?
Could do that. Thought about doing R-O-O-K-I-E only because I've been known as Rookie my whole life.
That's
we
can find out now if those are available. Well, as you're,
should I do that? Well, I don't know. I gotta.
Maybe during the break. During the break, I'll show
somebody
you.
Somebody quickly is going. Hey, let's.
No.
Let's sign up all these.
Yeah, that's
things.
True. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that to my boy. During the break, we'll look it up. Okay.
Okay. We'll see if we can do that. But I'll take suggestions.
Yeah.
Really good.
Sure.
Ones.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something catchy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm and looking for something.
Nothing
that will,
too long either.
It can't be long. It needs to be relatively short and catchy and distinguished. I don't want something that's just out there unless, of course, it's funny and makes you laugh.
What about JR?
Yeah, I thought about just JR, like JR Ewing.
Mm.
Yeah, you know. Cause that's,
you're from Texas.
That's why a lot of my friends call me JR. Just,
yeah.
And I know you do. You call me JR in the
course.
Past. Just because of the whole, you know, Dallas television
Well, Dallas
series.
And those are your initials.
That's true. I am a JR.
You are a JR.
That's who I am. So I've thought about that, too. I'll have to give it some thought.
During the break, we'll look up some possibilities. But, yeah, give us your suggestions.
All right, so we got lots of things that we want you to get to on the table here today, including, of course, your grades for this Patriots team at midseason. Offense, defense, special teams, and overall at 5-3 heading into the final 8 weeks. And let me make a prediction here, Eric, okay? I'm going to make a prediction here.
Go ahead.
The Patriots will do no worse than 7-1 in the last half.
No, worse than 7-1. And you think they lose to Houston?
Either Houston or
San Francisco. But not both.
Not both.
That's bold. That's a bold statement.
I'm stepping out right now, midseason, before anybody else says it. I'm going to go on the record right here on this program for our entire audience to hear. So that way you can call me out on the carpet and you can say, Rook, you suck, you jinxed us or whatever. Or you can say, Rook, you were right. Or they could say, Rook, you weren't good enough. Maybe the Patriots were on the table. They did in this instance a year ago.
Yes, they did.
Okay?
Yep.
So let's remind people, those with short memories, this team was 5-3 going into the midway point last year and ran the table.
Mm-hmm.
What will it take in your
Almost
estimation?
Ran the table.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, you know what I mean. Regular season wise, right?
Yeah.
There was that little
there was
blip,
that little
thing
blip
called
the
Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I understand. What do you think it'll take for them to do that? Is it possible?
Boy, if they can recreate what they did Sunday. Yes, it's possible. The way they played Sunday, I hadn't seen them play all year. Even against Tennessee, they didn't play that well.
Did that surprise you, the way they played Sunday?
A little bit, because I thought St. Louis provided an underrated challenge for them. I really did. And, boy, they met it. And Josh McDaniels even said yesterday, we talked to him via conference call,
right,
along with Bill and Matt Patricia, and Josh, unsolicited, said, you know, St. Louis showed us some looks and some fronts that we weren't expecting and hadn't prepared for, and our guys made in-game adjustments to them better than they had before. And you remember when we discussed Josh not too long ago, we were saying the adjustments in-game were one of the things that we were disappointed in, that they're not better at this
correct,
point.
Correct, correct.
And he praised his offense for doing just that, which I thought was interesting. If they can continue to do that against San Francisco's and Houston's and even maybe underrated foes like Miami, who's playing pretty well in the division, who's to say they can't go 8-0?
Well, you know, I think it will be difficult. Miami is better than, as we talk about here, better than advertised, it would appear. They do have Miami to play twice in this second half.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a little bit of a catch-all. I don't think it's impossible, but you still have 1, 2, 3, 4 divisional games to be played here in the second half.
Yeah.
You've only played
right,
two.
Jets and Buffalo, they've
You've
played
only played
already.
Two.
That's
You've
right.
got four left to go
four
in the
more.
Second half.
Yeah.
To me, that almost signifies, well, maybe there'll be a little bit more of a sense of urgency because it is a divisional game. These guys, for the most part, understand
right.
the added importance to playing divisional games.
Right. Half the remaining schedule is the division.
Right.
And half of the remaining schedule is against
NFC.
Against
contenders.
Contenders.
I should
Houston
say.
And contenders. San Francisco.
Houston and San Francisco. And they have Jacksonville and Indianapolis. Haven't
right.
They? Right.
Hmm. Yeah, it's entirely possible, but it's going to be difficult. I think, John,
to do better than 7-1, or to do 7-1.
It's going to be difficult. To 7-1 is. Really optimistic.
All right. Well, let's just say for playing the game.
But
here.
If that's how you feel, then I mean, don't back away.
I'm not backing away from it. I am not backing away from it. I say they will do 7-1 or better. I think that this team is capable because based on what I saw this last weekend,
yeah.
I'm like, man, if they can get anywhere close to that in these rest of these games, you know what? I mean, there's really only, to me, I mean, San Francisco and Houston are the two defenses that are left out there that can slow that down.
And thankfully, both of those games are here.
That's a huge bonus for the Patriots, which is why I'm thinking, hey, it's a home game. You got a chance here.
Especially with Houston because of tiebreaker implications.
Well, to me, the Houston game is everything. I mean, San Francisco...
Having already lost to Baltimore.
Yes. The Houston game is everything. The Houston game is absolutely everything. That could have huge, huge tie-breaking playoff implications.
That could be the difference between 1-2.
It could be the difference between getting a bye
or between
and
2-3. Yeah.
2-3 is what I'm thinking. That could be the difference between 2-3 is beating Houston. And that's what I think. That's where I think it really is going to come down to it. San Francisco would be a great win to get. Don't get me wrong, because I think that San Francisco and maybe even the Giants will end up, you know, probably winning out in the NFC.
Yeah, I think the NFC is starting to become. I think we're seeing the balance
shift back. Yes,
to NFC.
I think we've seen that really as the year has progressed here. So it'd be nice to get that, but. To me, the more important game has got to be Houston, without a doubt. Now, the question is, if they only do like 6-2 here and win the division at 11-5, which I certainly think it will win the AFC East.
Yeah.
Question is, at 11-5, can they get a bye out of 11-5? I don't think that that's going to be good enough. Especially when you consider where Houston
depends on what
is.
It depends on how badly Baltimore is affected by the loss of players on
their injuries. Yeah. Okay. So I mean, you might still have a chance because you just don't know how much Baltimore's going to slide.
Baltimore's
right?
lost two games already?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, Baltimore's lost two.
So they would have to.
They'd have to lose two more. And you have to go unbeaten.
Yeah.
Because you got to be a game ahead of them.
Right.
They have the tiebreaker.
Right.
So you got to be ahead of them.
But in your 11-5 scenario, they'd have to lose four games.
They would have to go 10-6, and they'd have to go 4-4 over the last eight. And that's why I don't think 11-5 gets it done.
Yeah, maybe not. So, yeah, the Houston game could be between 1 and...
That's what I'm saying, brother.
The 1 seed or the 3.
Yeah. You could be as high as a 1 or as low as the 3, but the Houston game, I think you need to circle that sucker right there on the calendar.
Mm.
I think that's going to be a huge swing game.
Mm.
Huge swing game right here in Foxborough. Coming up...
December. Yep.
I wanted to say next month, but we're not quite there yet.
That's the... That's the Monday night or the Sunday night? I forget.
Hold on.
That's Monday. I think that's the Monday game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the San Fran is
the Sunday night.
Yeah, Monday, December 10th, Houston. Sunday, December 16th, San Fran. Wow. Oh, so it's even a shorter week.
Short week. You're playing Houston first, then San Francisco.
That's good in a way.
Allows you to focus on Houston.
On the AFC first.
Right, on the AFC first. I think that's right. If you could get that one out of the way, if you get San Francisco, it's gravy.
Yeah.
It's gravy.
Yeah.
That's a gravy game, you know?
Yep.
And then clean up from there because you've got division opponent coming after that. You can't afford to really stumble on that if you want to make sure that you've got an opportunity to win, a bye. I think 12-4 could still do it as long as that loss isn't to Houston.
Right. Because if they will have lost to Houston and Baltimore,
you're going to be behind the eight ball. Pretty tough.
They're going
to
be playing on my birthday weekend.
It'd be pretty tough.
The case.
Yeah. So all right.
Possibly even on my birthday.
There's some scenarios for you. I want to figure those out. Let's get to the phones here before we get to a break. I got to hit a couple of clicks here. And our buddy Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Al, you're frequenting the other talk shows around here way too much. I don't know how long we can give you today.
Well, you know, I mean, I understand that's a payback is a mother, you know.
Yes.
And you're engaging in that.
Yes.
You're that small, you know, that you're going to engage in payback. Just
no, I just don't want you to waste your good material on those bozos.
Well, it was an interesting topic yesterday at EEI, so I felt I should chime in. But anyways, as far as grades go.
Yes, go.
I'm giving the offense a B, the defense a B minus just because of the secondary, and the special teams a B plus. Even though Steve obviously shanked that kick against the Cardinals, he did come back and make two very impressive kicks against the Jets, which basically won that game. So I think that's a wash. I'm going to give him a B+. Overall B for the team.
I like the overall grade of B. I think that your grade of B- for the defense is still a little generous.
Okay. You would go C, C plus?
I'd go C. I'm going to go right down the middle, and I think that's better than what they were last year. Last year it was a D. They have improved. I'll give them a C.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I really like the front seven. If we can just get the back four squared away, I think we're going to be okay. So maybe I'm just kind of future grading as opposed to past grading.
Okay.
It's maybe a mistake, but that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
But anyways, I really like the defense on Sunday. Really crisp tackling on defense. You look at Bradford's stats, and this just shows you how stats can be so misleading. He threw for a high completion percent. At one point in that game, I think he was 15 for 18 or 16 for 19 or something like that, some really just grossly high percentage. And you would think, if you just looked at that stat, why, you'd think, if that's all you knew, you'd think the Pats were in trouble. But they were ahead 38-7. And he was 15 for 18.
Yeah.
I mean, so what does that tell you? He completed a lot of balls short of the first down, and the defense was doing a lot of very crisp tackling short of the first down markers. They were making completions, but they weren't making first downs. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't make the first down, I don't care if you make the completion or not. Go ahead.
Right.
Enjoy yourself.
Right.
You know, we're still getting off the field because you didn't make the first down.
Right.
That's the important thing. So anyway, there wasn't maybe a lot of devastating hits on Sunday, but there were a lot of really crisp, good tackles on Sunday, which I don't think I've seen that since maybe the Tennessee game to open the season.
Do you have a nitpick at all, Al?
Well, you know, it's, and you're gonna get on me for this. It's the same thing that I usually nitpick about, and that's we had a 38-7 lead late in the third quarter, like 3 minutes and change to go. The defense, Chandler Jones, had just made that shoestring sack. Mm-hmm. Remember that play?
Yeah, great play.
It was a great play.
Great play. I mean, you could see on the replay that he saw that Bradford was about to get away, and he adjusted himself and reached and made the play.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sharp kid. I like that kid. Well, anyway, he makes the play. They punt. We get the ball around midfield. 38-7 lead. We've scored on the first six possessions. Five touchdowns
and
a field goal.
Right.
You know, maybe it's time to just kind of slow, enjoy the ball a little bit. You know, just slow down. Wipe the foam off. You know, wipe the foam off. Just relax. Hand the ball off. You know, even if you don't make a first down, you'll run out the quarter. Is that what we do? No. Because we don't think 38-7, you know, is enough to win the game. We don't have confidence in our defense at 38-7, evidently. So, incomplete pass, run. Of course, everybody, even in England, knows we're going to run on second and 10. So,
what are you trying to say about the English fans, Al?
Well,
come on.
You know,
give them a little credit. They're knowledgeable.
They knew, I'm sure, at that point that it was second. And so they're improving. They're learning, okay? So, boom, down goes Ridley, and it's like it was a 7-yard loss because the whole defense is in a run blitz because they know that's what we're doing. So then third and 17, incomplete. We took off about less than a minute on those three and out. And to me, that's just silly. And, you know, you might say, well, Al, we're just trying to step on their throat. We're trying to stick the knife in. Well, I understand. I like to step on their throat. I want to stick the knife in. Okay? I don't think you ever really run up the score. But there's such a thing as being smart while you're doing it as well. And so I don't know why we didn't just run the ball there and chew up some clock. We probably would have made a first down anyway. We've been running on them fairly well for through three quarters of the game. Why do you have to feel like you got to whip the ball around in that situation? I think it's silly. We got to have an understanding about what stepping on their throat means. I want to step on their throat like anybody else, but the way I step on their throat is to give them no hope of coming back. Running the clock down. That's the way you step on their throat. I'm not trying to be all fair and PC and keep the score down. I want to step on their throat through a different method than how we're doing the step on the throat method.
I think we're doing it
the wrong way.
That's just me.
That's
a really good nitpick. That may personify the phrase nitpick
as well as
any we have had this year.
Listen, I'm not trying to be fair and nice. If you want to talk about fair and nice, Tavon Wilson picked off that ball at the end of the game, I think he could have scored on that play. It wouldn't have bothered me if he had scored. All he had to do was like beat two offensive linemen around midfield, and he would have kept running and scored.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you got a chance to score in the National Football League, you do it. And you don't worry about what the scoreboard looks like.
You mean you're saying he's saying
up around midfield.
Yeah, you're saying he shouldn't have shouldn't have slid.
That was being PC and nice. I wouldn't have done that.
You're saying he shouldn't have slid.
I don't think he should have slid. I think he should have kept going. He had a chance to score.
I was a little surprised
PC
too.
And nice. It's not being PC and nice to run the ball three times from midfield with a 38-7 lead with 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. That's not being PC and nice. That's being smart. That's stepping on their throat, just by the smart way, not the foolish way that we seem to keep doing. And I don't understand it. Nobody's ever going to be able to explain it to me. I don't get it. But you know what? It's what we do, and we won the game. So
they won 45-7.
You justify the beans.
Al, this is great. You're as animated as you have been all year, and we're coming off of a 45-7 win.
Well, you know, like I say, this is something that I pay attention to. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't. But I think this situational football, which is what we always claim that we're interested in, we don't seem to be living up to it. So I don't know who to make that accountable for that, but that seems to be what I'm looking at. But
All right. Anyway,
I liked the way we played. I love the tackling, like I say. You grew up, John, seeing Chuck Cowley and Bob Lilly and those guys, right?
Sure, absolutely.
They never really mutilated anybody. They just made the play.
Right.
They just tackle the guy.
Yeah.
It's called blocking and tackling. It's not called blocking and creaming somebody. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I like a good creaming, you know, Spikes. He's great. But, you know, but the thing is, if it's a choice between making a tackle or, you know, flying out there out of control and maybe you miss the guy and down the field he goes because you're trying to really send a message with a brutal hit, I'd rather see you make the tackle.
Okay.
And I think that we made a lot of good tackles on Sunday, even on a wet playing surface and everything else, where we could have missed a lot of those guys.
How about?
I thought Sunday was a great game, but if you want a nitpick, you know that's mine.
That's a good one. It's like I said, I think you may win the nitpick prize of the year, certainly to the halfway point here. All right, how about an underrated player?
Underrated player. Well, last week I said Kyle Love was underrated.
Okay, good one.
That's a good one.
And I probably would stick with that. I think Sebastian Vollmer is underrated. If you notice in that game today, we've had a tendency, when we get short yards and goal line, we want to run to the left because that's where Mankins, if he's playing, and Solder, you got two number one picks over there. Why wouldn't you want to run left?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not knocking that. That makes all the sense in the world. But I think the teams were picking up on that tendency. The two rushing touchdowns we had, short yardage goal line in the first half, we changed up and ran over to Vollmer's side. And then Vereen went in on the first one on fourth and goal. And then later, Ridley went in on, I think, first and goal after a pass interference. He went over. And they were both runs to the right over on Vollmer's side.
Okay.
And I think that shows confidence in Vollmer. And I think that also shows that we're willing to change things up, with the tendencies, which I think that's good in both respects. So I like Vollmer's coming on. And we get Mankins healthy. And suddenly, you know, the offensive line, to me, is looking a lot more solid.
I think that's all good work out of you. See, you did save your good stuff for us.
Well, you see, there you go. I'm kind of like, I'm one of these cars. It takes a while for me to get from like 0 to 60. You see?
You're the opposite of Paul Perillo.
I'm built for comfort. Yeah. You're not built for speed. Okay, I'm built for comfort. So Perillo, you're saying Perillo, he's like a Ferrari because he's Italian? And he goes
from zero to hot. That's the joke with him. He goes from zero to hot.
He goes, there's no
in-between.
No in-between. Oh, and Escal, listen, congratulations on the lady friend.
Nice.
Thanks.
Nice.
That is, you know, take it from somebody who did 20 years in the world's greatest fighting force, the United States Air Force, 15 of which.
Thank you for your service.
No problem. No sweat. They paid us on time. And I did 15 of those years, Eric, in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing about the ladies in Europe. They don't care where in America you're from. You know, they're not into this, I'll never live in Buffalo, or I'll never live in El Paso, or I went to Los Angeles and it sucked.
Yeah, I've lived in El Paso.
They don't care where. They just know it's America.
Yeah, yeah.
And that honesty makes a big difference. It really can, you know? So I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, my friend.
Good stuff, Al.
Thanks, Al.
No problem.
Good stuff.
Have a great day, Phil.
All right, talk to you soon. Let's go to Russ in Walpole, Mass. Russ, thanks for hanging on. You're in the playbook.
Hey, not a problem, guys. I just wanted to call in. I just got back yesterday from the game. I went to London. Took 12 hours to get home, Eric. I'm glad that you got home earlier.
Yeah, it was great. We were very fortunate. Very, very fortunate.
Yeah, it was a wonderful trip, and to be honest with you, that had to be one of the most devastating performances I've seen from the Patriots in a very long time. It was good to see. It was on all facets of the game. There's really not much to nitpick, except my nitpick would be that they should run Stephen Ridley as the number one running back. That'd be my nitpick.
Well, he is sort of the de facto number one. I mean, they did put Vereen in there. I guess, again, I'm going to say it's because of a personnel grouping. They thought that they needed some flexibility because they feel like Vereen is the guy that they can really throw to out of the backfield. Not that they can't to Ridley, but I think that was the only reason that Vereen might have been in there.
Yeah,
no, Eric's giving me a
maybe
thing.
Yeah, there was. I mean, I don't think the television cameras caught this necessarily, but at one point, I forget exactly when it was. It was right before Ridley came in. I mean, excuse me, right before Vereen came in and scored.
Yep.
Where I always get them confused, the two of them.
Oh, no.
Ridley did something on a play or two previously that the coaches didn't care for.
Oh.
They pulled him, and, I mean, I had my binoculars, so I could see the sideline. Again, I don't think they showed this on television. There was a little jawing going on between the back and the position coach.
Really?
Which may have been, and you didn't see him then for another series, if you recall. And Vereen got a lot more carries. So there might have been a little disciplinary thing going on there that viewers at home weren't privy to. I just happened to be looking.
Well, that was with Ivan Fierce?
Yeah, because I just happened to be looking for, I remember I was looking at the sideline for something else. I can't remember what it was at the time, but happened to see an exchange. It was kind of like, you remember last year in Washington, Bill O'Brien and Brady had the beef?
Yeah.
It was something along those lines, but I don't think I saw it on any of the, on the broadcast. So that might have been one reason why you saw Vereen on the goal line there, or it just could have been a personnel thing. But it's just something I wanted to point out.
Interesting. Russ, what do you think about midseason grades for the units?
You know what? I will give an A to the offense. I think it deserves an A. For the defense, I do agree with you that I would give them a C. I actually think it's better than last year and could go up as high as a B. It's going to depend on the secondary. Special teams, I will give a B as well. But I do think that the defense is a work in progress, and to give it a B, I think, would be premature. So I will say a C. The one comment that I wanted to mention that Al was talking about, the fans in England, I actually happened to spend Friday night with UK Patriots members.
Yep.
And these are some of the most knowledgeable fans that I've ever met regarding the Patriots. And the people over there know the sport. They have to work hard to really keep up with the Patriots because they do not get the coverage that we get over here. So I give kudos to them because they know as much about the Patriots as I do. So I definitely want to say that they know the sport and they know the team.
That's fantastic. I'm glad you said that. Thank you. We think that they're very knowledgeable, too, and we're glad that they're with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one other thing that I did want to mention, because, listen, I've heard some discussion again about the secondary and about the bossing about Bradford and how he had decent numbers. The one thing I will say, I had very good seats for this game on the 50-yard line. And I'm telling you, besides the long pass, the secondary really shut down those routes he was looking for to go longer. I want to say that they did a very nice job in the secondary besides that long pass. There weren't many open receivers deep. He had to check down.
Okay. Yeah, we'll jump into that here in just a minute. How about an underrated player for this year thus far?
Alphonso Dinard. I think I saw Alphonso Dinard play against the Broncos right in front of me. Make some good plays against Eric Decker. And I know he's a rookie. It's going to take him some time, but I can see this player being a number two, and I think that would be good enough because I really believe that McCourty, eventually, once the safeties come back, will move to the number one cornerback. So I think that this will be the guy that will replace Kyle Arrington as your number two.
Good stuff, Russ.
Hey, Russ, before we let you go, was that your first time in London, and what did you think of the city overall?
I love the city, to be honest with you. It was my first trip. It was a combined trip. I also follow a soccer team called Fulham over there. I got to see a soccer match in Reading, England, and that was pretty spectacular. But the game on Sunday was unbelievable, and it was great to be there. And I have to say, and I know you guys have seen more stadiums than I have, I'm very impressed with Wembley. I thought it was a great facility.
Wembley is in my top three NFL stadiums. It's a wonderful facility. And I've been to all of them except for four. So.
Wow. Nice. Russ, great stuff. Thanks for chiming in on this.
Hey, no problem, guys. Have a great day. Great show.
Thanks,
you too.
Russ.
Thank you very much. Good stuff from Russ and Walpole.
Good callers all overall.
Just down the street, but by all means, you know, I think it's great that he chipped in.
Yeah.
Here's Jordan in Florida. Jordan, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John. Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me on. John, love the show.
Thanks, Jordan.
Definitely glad you bring Eric over instead of Andy Hart, by the way. I don't know
Andy's,
if it takes much more.
Andy's head wouldn't be able to fit in the room with mine.
no doubt. I mean, PFW earlier was one of the best shows ever without him on there. No offense.
Great call.
Wow.
Great call already.
Anyhow, I'll get on to the grades here. Offense. I struggled between a B-plus and an A. I ended up giving them an A-minus to just split the difference there. I mean, their inability to close out those three games has got me a little worried. But
they did
come back this week and make us proud. So still, I went with the A-minus because I think they are in the top five on passing and rushing.
They're number one in the league in total offense and number one in the league in scoring. But I think an A-minus is appropriate because you're right. They have failed to close out some of those games. So you have to bring it down a notch from a straight A or even an A-plus. You know, if they were undefeated at 8-0, you might give them the A-plus.
That would be my grade.
But A-minus?
A-minus for
the offense. Yeah, I think that's a good solid grade, Jordan.
Yeah, I struggled, too, again, with the B-plus, too, because I do still think they need to develop a deep threat or at least get some help outside the numbers. I mean, Lloyd is, you know, everybody thought the world of him before he started showing up to play.
Lloyd!
We're starting to wonder, which could lead me into my underrated player, but we'll get to that after.
Okay.
Defense, I went with a C-plus. You know, obviously the corners have been terrible. I think that Bill's going to try and work his magic and do some adjustment as best he can and see what we come up with. But as far as the midway point in the season, I'm going to go C+.
Yeah.
Those are my grades, Jordan. I gave him the plus just because I like the play of Jones and Hightower, and I really think that defensive line is showing up too.
Okay, that's fair.
So
it differs a little from
the reason they got the plus on the C side of that.
Okay, I mean I think that's fair. That's what Eric would give the defense is a C+. I'd give him a C. I'm not quite as generous, but that's okay. I think that's probably in the ballpark.
They're definitely better than they were last year, and they still have room
to
for
improve.
Improvement.
Yes,
but. Yeah. You know, last year I would have given them probably a D minus.
There's no question.
So I think C plus is an improvement. A big improvement.
I might even go that low too. Like I said, if it wasn't for the play out of Jones, Hightower, and the rest of that line, I mean, even Spikes is showing up like a monster that he can be. So I gave him the plus and the C plus. But special teams, I went with the B plus. They did have that run back last week. McCourty there, so that's always big. And Goskowski missed a couple of kicks, but he's kind of made up for it, as one of the previous callers mentioned. And I think Mesko still, as much as we don't want to see him on the field, he still is one of the best punters in the game. So I gotta give them a B+. Overall, I went with the B+. You know, they got the 5-3 record going into the break here. That's huge for them. They're showing improvement. We'll see what they can do with the rest of the season. I think they can easily jump up into the A-minus, A-plus range. I mean, especially if they don't give us a scare with Buffalo coming up, and then we'll see what happens with the two big guys coming up around the corner with San Francisco and Houston.
Right, absolutely.
So. I'm telling you, Jordan, you stole all my grades. You did a good job.
You sure weren't disagreeing with me since I gave the hit on Andy earlier, were you?
No, I mean, that was great that you did that, and I didn't have to pay you for it. But, no, those were exactly the grades I was going to give before I leave for the hour.
All righty. And
Underrated.
Well, it sounds like I sort of know what I'm talking about then a little bit. Underrated, I kind of alluded to it earlier. I think Brandon Lloyd, although I'm not giving up on him, I think that he, if you remember before the season or even when the trade came through, everybody was just, oh, this is the end-all, be-all. He's going to solve all our problems. He's the best athlete in the world, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think people kind of overrated him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if you asked me about underrated. I'm going overrated right now. So he's my overrated pick just so far. I think he can dig himself out. I just think he needs to find a way to get open a little better. I know he had two touchdowns this week, but wasn't like they were the most difficult difficult grabs.
Yeah, he was mentioned. He was one of the players that was mentioned when we did overrated players a couple of weeks ago. Lloyd did get some mention then, so you're not off base with that.
All right, and then underrated. You're going to have to forgive me for this one, but I'm going to go with the whole offensive line. I couldn't pick out a player. I mean, I could go Vollmer or whoever, like I think it was Allen did before.
Yeah.
But in general, I mean, just a few weeks ago, everybody, including myself, we were still singing for Waters to come back. Everybody was real up in arms. You know, the line doesn't look good. And I think over the past couple of weeks, they've really turned it around and kind of turned into
that's
the offensive line that Brady always said he had faith in.
I think that's fair because the O-line, while it's five separate individuals, it is considered a group.
Unit, yeah.
You know, they all perform like the kickers, the snapper, the holder, the place kicker. They're considered one group out of three. And you're right. They were concerns from a lot of people about the injuries, the unsettled personnel changes, the health status of returning guys. So, you know, the fact that they're playing as well as they have, and especially the way they played the other day, I think it's fair to say that they are underrated, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I think, like you said, they've been a lot of moving parts going in there. And from what they've been able to do through halfway through the season, I mean, it can only go up from here, which is going to be, you know, even better, obviously. Mm-hmm. One last thing, again, congrats on the newfound love across the pond.
All right, calm down.
Approach to it. We'll call that a playbook love affair.
Can't
give the credit to PFW on that one.
Yes!
John, I also got to thank you for giving me the reply tweet a couple days ago. I sent in a picture of the garter me and my wife got married earlier this month.
Congratulations, Jordan. That was a great picture. Great picture, and thank you for your service as well.
Oh, that's right. The Coast Guard. Yeah. I got that one too. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. She actually found that herself, made me fall in love with her all over again.
Wow.
It was
a Patriots garter for those that are unaware. Yeah. Yes. It was really nice.
Yeah. We actually wrapped it around a football and I tossed it to the guys. My brother ended up catching it. It was a great time.
That's nice. Funny. See, very classy.
That's clever.
Nicely done, Jordan.
And congratulations on the nuptials.
Thanks a lot. Maybe next year you'll have a Patriots garter for the newfound love.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Boy, this guy's really rushing things over here, isn't he?
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Thanks a lot for the call. You guys have a good one. Go, Pat.
Jordan, thank you so much. Jordan in Florida.
I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be in the Coast Guard. And I'm proud to be from Boston, Mass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. That's great. All right.
Where's that from?
Eric's got the love connection going.
I don't know. I just typed in Coast Guard and that came up.
That's funny.
Nice.
That's perfect, actually.
Nice. All right. Let's go from Florida to Ontario, Canada. Brian's in the playbook. Brian, how are you?
How you doing?
Great.
Good. You know what? I thought I was a Patriot fan until I actually just listened to that last call. I don't think I'm in the same league as Jordan. I really don't.
Because of the garter and everything?
No, just because, I mean, man, that guy is a Patriot fan. No, I seriously am. As a matter of fact, I think I was told to be a Patriot fan when I was a fetus, actually. But
I like that. from before birth.
That's the way it was. You know, up here in Ontario, you make a choice. It's like Montreal Canadiens, Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, I'm a Montreal fan. And
what about the Senators?
It's the Patriots or anybody else, basically, you know. but I'll tell you what, we've got a whole contingency up here in Guelph, Ontario. I mean, we've got a large fan base of the Patriots. And not just since they've been doing well, either. I mean, we stuck it through with the 1-15 seasons and stuff, you know.
Nice.
So here's a funny stat. Up here in parts of Ontario, especially in Guelph, we don't have A, B, C, D grades, especially in the Catholic, my daughter's in the Catholic school board system. We have like B great, knees improvement, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm going to approach it.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
That's fine.
What I want to say about two different things is the Patriots offense obviously being rated the way it is. It's great, and averaging 31, 32 points a game, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, what's obvious is that they seem to, I don't know, they hit a point and they almost seem to stagnate. And I don't know what happens. I don't know if the coaches are responsible or whatever, but they just seem to hit a point where they go, they didn't do that, obviously, in the UK. They were full bore. But in other times during the season, they just seem to say, okay, that's enough, when it's never enough. You know what I mean? It's never enough. So I'm going to give them a, obviously, Tom Brady. Oh, this is the, you know what? I've got to go pick up my daughter soon. So I'm going to say this about the Tom Brady and Lloyd connection.
Okay.
I'm not going to put that on Lloyd completely. I know a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people around town going, you know, can Lloyd catch and all that kind of stuff. And I've been a Brady fan since he stepped onto the field. But, I mean, he tosses a lot of balls, and I don't know if anyone has ever noticed this, and I'll put this out there. He seems to toss a lot of balls, and I think this may be a shoulder problem, a lot of balls at the ankles of people and not allowing them to catch and run. I mean, he throws a lot of yardage.
Part of that is because he doesn't get his feet set. And so you can always know that he's a little bit off-centered and his feet aren't set on the throw when you see him sort of short-arm the ball or yank it a little bit, I should say, and throw at the feet of the receivers.
Yeah. So someone else has noticed this then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, like it's a good observation. Like it's a good observation that you're making. You're absolutely correct on the observation.
Yeah. A lot of those, I've seen every game this season. And that's pretty tough to do up here in Ontario.
I'll bet.
And, but, you know, a lot of those throws to Lloyd, the man has made spectacular catches. He really has. The catches that he's made, I mean, you know, the acrobatic catches. And a lot of the ones that people say, that's a drop. Yes, he has dropped. Maybe too many. But the other point is, I've watched some, and my father, who's been a Patriot fan even before me, like I say, he told me, you know, you are a Patriot fan, and I am. He literally goes, I think Brady's, you know, become, you know, why is he throwing it at everybody's feet? And I said, I don't know, Dad. You know what I mean? Like,
early in the year, Brian, he simply just did not have the confidence that he probably has developed or is developing still in that offensive line, which was a makeshift unit. And I think that confidence is beginning to improve as the season has progressed. And so he was, you know, yanking the ball a little bit because his feet just weren't set. He's getting his feet a little more set. He's got a little more time, and he's not throwing the ball at people's feet now.
No, obviously that last game, I mean, you know, the passes to Gronk and everything, you know, boom, you know, that's what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Gronk being who he is, premier tight end, we need to get it to them. And it's really unfortunate that we don't have a full offensive unit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Patriots could put up 35 to 40 points a game.
Oh, sure.
If they had the full, you know, put Mankins back in the fold and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
I mean, they could seriously outpoint anybody, whether their defense. And I'm not even going to address the secondary because there's too many people, you know, doing that already.
Okay, that's fair.
How
about an underrated player then, Brian?
You know what? Last week, and not to jump on the bandwagon, but the Kyle Love thing.
Yeah.
Simply because, you know what, he's one of those almost invisible guys that he's in there play after play after play.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, no one talks about him until he got hurt. He got hurt, what was it, last game or two games ago. He got hurt, he went out, and he was right back in two plays later,
mm-hmm.
making a difference again.
Yeah. Right. Good observation,
so,
yeah.
those are the kind of guys you want on your team. And I'm not expecting them to play hurt. I'm just saying those are the kind of guys that are your underrated players. Not because they start out as overrated, just because people don't pay attention to them. You know, but they're there game in, game out, and they do their job. And man, I watched what he went that play, and my golly, you know, he's a big man.
Yeah,
he's a big.
Oh
man.
Yes,
he is.
He's a big dude, but he's very effective when he's in there. And I agree wholeheartedly with the choice of Kyle Love. He would certainly be one of my couple that I would select in that round.
And he only went out. He only went out for one play.
Right.
And he was right back in. And I remember turning to someone and going, "That's a tough guy."
Yep, no question.
That's a tough guy.
No
anyway,
question.
Thanks a lot,
Brian. Thanks for the
phone
call.
Thanks, Brian.
Good stuff.
Yep.
So good phone calls today. That one
great
coming
phone
from
calls
Canada
today.
As well.
Yeah. Good contributions.
Did you have an unsung?
An
underrated that you really kind of.
I'm going to get specific on the O line and say Ryan Wendell.
Okay.
At center because it's the player.
See, now you've stolen my other one. Because I was going to, Kyle Love was one that I was going with, but my other one was Ryan Wendell because of the way he stepped in for, you know, for everybody up and down that line.
Right, because you remember last year he was the third center.
Yes.
After Dan Connolly got
hurt
replacing Copen.
Yes, right.
And Copen had been Brady's closest pal, basically, for the last 8 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important position, obviously. So you had your third, basically your third string center has become your starter,
right?
And
look at the job he's
doing.
Done.
Yeah, he's
pretty
doing
solid.
A great job.
Solid
job. Yeah. So I'm going to go with him, Ryan.
I'd have to concur with that one. I'd have to stick between Love and Wendell if you have to go on both sides of the ball. And okay, so we got your grades and all that kind of stuff. And what do you have to do the rest of the week? Are you off this week?
No. We have a paper to do. We're still a weekly, even though it's a bye.
Okay.
So I got a few things to do. But do you want a word? Before
goodness,
I leave you?
How could you know? We have
Come
to leave
now.
Eric to figure this stuff out.
Jeez.
Come on, Kev.
Get that punched up. Get it ready to go. I've been thinking about it, mulling it, and I'm trying to fill space for him so that
it's called this.
Yeah,
this
it's called stretching.
Stretching.
Ladies and gentlemen,
John's favorite
children
part of, all,
this. Of yes, all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
What the hell are britches, by the way? Pants, right?
Yeah.
You have to ask Rob.
Right.
That's true. We should ask
Pull up your
Rob.
Britches.
Yeah. Pull up your britches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Word of the Day.
Rusticate.
Rusticate.
Yep, and I chose that word for a reason because it has a secondary definition that is British in nature. And since we just came from across the pond.
Okay.
Rusticate means either to go to or to live in the countryside. And, of course, Britain has plenty of countryside.
Right.
The secondary definition for it might not be as much in use today. It might be a little arcane, but in Old English it meant to be kicked out of university.
Really?
Yes, to be suspended.
So if you were rusticated,
booted.
You were booted?
You were booted.
But I could say then if I'm moving from the city to the country,
you are rusticating.
I am rusticating.
That's correct.
Nice. Well, as a matter of fact, I am rusticating.
Are you?
I am rusticating.
Where are you going?
Moving from, I think, Cranston, probably this morning, the South Shore.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
And not by your
lonesome.
Stop
smiling. No, stop smiling.
Good man, John. Very good man.
Stop smiling.
Good show, chap.
It's going to turn into Love Connection with John and Eric.
Chuck, we'll be back in 2 minutes
we'll
and 2 seconds.
And two. Love that. Good stuff, Big E.
Thanks, man.
All right, we'll see
play some games tomorrow.
Yes, game show Wednesday on a Thursday.
Get my wit
tomorrow.
About me.
Yeah, bring your wits with
okay.
you. All right, we're going to pause here for a timeout. And when we come back, we want to continue the thought process. We're giving midterm grades for the Patriots. Midseason report card, 5-3 at the halfway point. Grade the offense, grade the defense, grade the special teams, and give us an overall. Plus, your underrated, underappreciated Patriot at the midway point. Web radio at patriots.com. The email, 508-298-0398. The Ace Ticket Hotline. John.Rook on Facebook, at JRook0722, Twitter. Ready, set, go.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASC certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Okay, I know it's not Tuesday, it's Wednesday, but it's Nitpick Tuesday on a Wednesday. If you have nits to pick,
about a 45-7 win over the St. Louis Rams in London this Sunday. Now's the time to do it or forever hold your peace. 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com, the email address, john.rook on Facebook, at jrook0722. Twitter, Melvin sends this. He says, I'm glad you all are okay concerning the storm. I sent that via Twitter. Thank you, Melvin. We are all actually in very, very good shape, a lot better than some made out in this storm. Keith sent this on Twitter as well. He says, not too many nits to pick today, John. The team were great last Sunday. I know because I was there. I think this is Keith, our UK Patriot. So very good, Keith. Glad to hear that you had an awesome time. I'm sure the UK Pats were out in force. And I could kind of tell. I mean, frankly, I know it was a St. Louis Rams home game, but goodness, I mean, the cheers were just as loud when the Patriots did well as they were for the Rams. So, you know, I do believe that one of the reasons why the NFL is moving from one game to two games now on the international series starting next year is the fact that the sport is very popular. And it's increasing in popularity. So why not give them an extra game? And why not give other teams and other fans here in the States an opportunity to showcase themselves and maybe expand their own fan base within the UK? Patriots are very lucky to have the kind of fan base that they have in the UK. So we're proud to have UK Pats with us wherever you may be. Okay, let's see. What do we got here? Just checking. Okay, let's get some emails in here. And the first one comes from Greg, GB in Quincy, who says, John, not much to nitpick about this week for sure, but I can always find something, and I think he has. Number one, punching the ball in from the five. I fully understand that the Pats got the score on a gutsy four-down call, but let's not let that cloud the play calling and execution on the other three before that. That's a good point. I was kind of disappointed in that, too, that you've got to be able to punch that in before fourth down. But I was very happy to see them punch that in on fourth down. In fact, if they had gone for the field goal, that would have clearly been at least number two or maybe even 1A on the nitpick list beyond the giving up the 50-yard bomb to Givens right off the top of the, you know, I mean, right after the opening series for the Rams. Opening series. Easy one to nitpick. Number two, penalties. I'm not sure what the exact numbers were, but the number of penalties were frustrating from the Pats on Sunday. I'm looking here at the summary. And penalties. The Patriots had 8 penalties for 42 yards. But the Rams had 12 penalties for 102 yards. So they had 8 penalties. And I guess the overall number might be a little bit of concern, but the number of yards, though, would not be. Some of those were, you know, in fact, I remember Vince Wilfork talking about him yesterday during Patriots Monday on a Tuesday, that, you know, he was just trying to advance the snap count and got caught and cost his team 5 yards a couple times. So they were of the short variety. And then John Gregory says, number three, Gronk's TD dances. The first one was a great ode to London, and if left alone, it would have become the stuff of legend. But then he ruined it with the pole dance after the second touchdown. He needs to hire a consultant of some sort to make sure he has several good ideas ready to roll for those pesky multiple touchdown games. That's good. I like that. You're right about hiring a consultant. Although his pole dance is what's made the cover of PFW this week. I guess we all like the pole dance. I don't know. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. The changing of the guard touchdown celebration was by far and away clever and fun to watch, and it made everybody smile. I thought that was clearly the class there, and you're right. Probably could have been legendary had he just left it at that. Richard writes, I talked to Fred at the sports bar in London on Saturday night. It's this tall Swedish guy. Well, okay, we'll remind Fred. It says, wonder why I didn't see Eric, though. Let's see. And anyway, this was my first game watching live since I became a fan in 09. I have to say I completely loved it. It was probably the best weekend of my career with seeing the Stars at the Trafalgar Square and the Gronk spike on stage there. That's right, if you hadn't heard by now. Yeah, Gronk spiked the mic on stage. Put something in his hands, he'll spike it. Game day was also awesome. Got there early to the biggest pre-party I've ever seen. Can't imagine it being like that in the States. Oh, it is. It just depends on where you're going. But we've had some pretty good game days here, to be quite honest with you, Richard. Got to the stadium, and wow, was it big. Players came in, warmed up in front of me, which was nice. Game notes from the stands. Loved the offense. Seemed like they had a perfect game plan. Brady looked good. Maybe we don't need Hernandez. Oh, yes, we do. Let's not get cocky here. Defense stepped up. Liked what I saw from the defense. One play to Chris Givens. Not good from the secondary, but after that, really good. Don't know if it was just me from the sideline, but felt like we had a lot of tackles stopped on short on third down. Solid tackling. You know, actually, that's a good point, Richard, and I think that's one of the things that really caused the defense overall to get a better feel or give a better feel to us, and maybe for the performance in the secondary was that the tackling was very solid. Nothing cheap about it. Once they made a hit, they wrapped up. Great step in the right direction. Richard says, number three, Gronk's a beast. Being from Sweden, it's like I'm the only Pats fan in the nation, including Michelle, so I don't get to talk about the team and discuss things like you guys do over there as much. So it was great to go to London, talk to other fans, both at the sports bar and at Wembley. Want to thank you for keeping me up to date on the Patriots. You guys are actually a pretty big part of my life. I listen to every show you guys do, including the roster reports and training camp cast, and just want to say thank you for being great men and giving us fans the inside information to the team. Definitely going to the States next year to see the Pats play. Excellent. Richard from Sweden. Good job out of you. Let's go to... Next comes from Toussaint. Okay. Hi, John. It's been a while since I wrote in, but I definitely wanted to give my two cents on the underrated players. Thanks, Toussaint. Appreciate you for doing this. Where you been? I would go with Devin McCourty. Hear me out. Uh-oh. He was probably considered overrated by most, but here's why I think he is underrated. One, healthy. The guy is always on the field. The rest of the secondary is injured if they get a paper cut. Two, he can play any position in the secondary. He's played safety well the last couple of weeks, and he plays corner when our safeties decide to be healthy. And last but not least, plays special teams. Great. We all saw with the kickoff return. Just my thoughts. You know, Toussaint, you make a pretty good argument. I like your versatility argument because he is one of the few guys back there that is actually playing both positions in the secondary. You know, he's okay. I think he's certainly adequate as a corner. I'm not sure, though, how a guy can go from, you know, Pro Bowl caliber to having to play safety because he can't corner. Now, he's playing safety because of the injuries at safety, and he's one of the guys that they feel can, you know, make that switch. But, underrated, okay. Bit of a stretch, but I see where you're going with the argument. I'm not sure that I would quite go that far, but I can understand why you would say that. So, okay, we'll accept that. And thank you for the email. Jonathan says, Tom Brady. Yes, I know we talk about him all the time. But imagine this team with Matt Cassel under center. Where would we be? So he's going to say Brady's his underrated. Okay. My brother says the all-time, he's a Raiders fan, your team would be nowhere without Tom Brady. It's scary to think about it. We should really appreciate how important he is to this organization. Second half, I expect the Pats to run the table. Tough games against Houston and San Francisco, but both are at home. Love what all the rookies are bringing to the table. I only expect them to get better as the season goes along. McCourty playing safety seems to have helped stop the deep ball. And Dennard is looking like a real solid pick. Now, that's actually a good point, Jonathan. They did give up the deep ball, obviously, to Chris Givens on Sunday. But beyond that, they were able to shut it down. And quite frankly, I'd have to look at it again. and I don't know how much of an opportunity I'm going to get. But I'd have to really look at it again to decide whether or not the reason that the Rams could not connect again was because the Patriots were covering it better or just because the Rams are too stupid to take advantage. I can't figure that one out. I do think McCourty playing safety seems to have helped. But I'd like to know where the faux pas was on that opening drive, because that was real. That's dangerous. In fact, that was nasty, and you could kind of sense that. Oh man, we could be in real trouble right here, right from the get go in London. And I give the entire team a lot of credit, especially the offense though, because they answered that touchdown with one of their own, and then the defense decided to come and play. But it is a good point, Jonathan. Says the O is getting healthy, and even banged up, they're still the best offense in the league. That is true. And you hope that maybe now, with the week off, to sort of rest and heal and maybe get a guy like Loken Mangan's back healthy and a guy like Aaron Hernandez back healthy, that, you know, the sky could potentially be the limit as long as you're able to keep everybody relatively healthy. Says, watch out, here comes the monster. I assume you mean the team overall. Thank you, Jonathan. Okay, Chris in Seattle gives his mid-season report card, which is what we're asking for here today. Webradio@patriots.com, or send me the Facebook post, or give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Here we go. Offense, A-, lost a little due to Brady and Lloyd's inconsistency. Fair grade. Defense, B, lost almost all of it due to the secondary. Little generous, but okay, Chris. Special teams, B+. Lost it a bit due to the Gostkowski misses and the McCourty fumble. And coaching, B+. He says questionable play calling, but it might turn out that they did the right thing. Still some generous grades there. Team overall, Chris says B+. Despite excellent play in all three phases, there have been concerns in all three phases as well. Yeah, and I think... I'll be honest. I'm leaning, as I said earlier, I give the offense an A-. I give the defense a C, and largely because of the secondary. It's not a D, though, or a C-, just because of the improvement of the front seven. But I'm going to say C. The overall grade for me for the Patriots is B, a solid B, good. Not great, not excellent, good. Because I think we expected this team to be good. Didn't we? We expected this team to be good. And they have been, with the exception, of course, of some of the brain cramps that they have had in trying to put teams away. So I'll still give them a B because they are 5-3. And yes, I know, 4 points away from being 8-0. But hey, you know, if the old analogies. If everything was candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas type of thing. Ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. That's it. I don't think, though, that I'm ready to go any further than that. I want to see what they do with the second half of the season, but I'd say good, not great, good. Chris's underrated player is Rob Ninkovich, and that's an excellent suggestion, and I'm glad somebody mentioned it. Ninkovich has come on strong, as I think if you've watched the games closely, come on strong over each of the last couple of weeks, to where he's not only been a force at backer when he's had to play, but when he's, you know, down, you know, in a 3-point stance getting ready to play on the defensive line, he's applying pressure and he's getting consistent pressure. And I had a friend of mine say this week, wow, it's not just because of the jersey number, but boy, is he starting to make Vrabel-like plays. I couldn't agree more. He reminds me a lot of Mike Vrabel when Vrabel was playing that position. Now, he's not entirely like Vrabel because they used Vrabel, obviously, in the short yardage packages on offense, and he caught a bunch of touchdown passes and what have you. But he's having that kind of an impact defensively. And if they can continue to get that kind of production out of Rob Ninkovich, and they don't necessarily need the sacks. Sacks are great, but as long as they get the QBHs, the quarterback hurries, I think that the Patriots will be in much better shape in the secondary. And then Chris says, second half prediction, 6-2. I'm cautiously optimistic about the team going forward. This is starting to feel like a season where early missteps may pay big dividends down the road because of great coaching and commitment to excellence by all involved. And Brady is absolutely right. We are spoiled. Yeah, we'll probably learn that more in the next 3 to 5 years. But even at 6-2, Chris, in the second half, that brings you to 11-5, and I don't think that gets you anything more than an AFC East championship and maybe a number 3 or 4 seed. I don't think it gets you anything more than that. At 11-5, you're getting no bye. You're not going to get a bye. And we kind of hashed this out earlier, but Baltimore would have to lose. You would have to go, if you go 6-2, Baltimore would have to go 4-4 for you to get the edge on Baltimore. And it's going to come down to Houston, Baltimore, and New England, for the byes. That's just what it's going to come down to, probably, unless somebody really gets wicked hot. But it's probably going to come down. And so you got to look at Houston, you got to look at Baltimore, and if you're a Patriots fan, you got to root for those teams to get beat once or twice here, to give your team a chance in case you stub your toe. And I think the Patriots will probably go. I think they've got a good chance to go 7-1. At least that's what I think that they will do in the second half, provided major injuries can be avoided. But I think it's going to take 7-1 to have a shot at a bye and to have the opening weekend off and stay out of the wild card games. 6-2, I don't think, cuts it. Canadian Mike in Florida says, here are my midseason grades, and please keep in mind my grades are based on the actual performance and the potential for improvement throughout the rest of the season. Fair enough. He says, the offense, a B. Keep in mind we have the number one offense statistically in the league, but I think they will get a lot better. Okay? Defense is C+. At first glance, an F might be in order, but while the secondary has issues, we must give some credit to the D-line and the linebackers play for their performance. Special teams, C. While we do have special teams touchdown, I think we've allowed some decent runbacks on kickoffs and punts. Coaching, C+. At times, play calling has been a little suspect, whether it be Josh or Bill. An underrated player of the year to me is Vollmer and Love. So he goes Sebastian Vollmer and Kyle Love. And those right now, those two players seem to be getting the majority of the votes overall, with a little Rob Ninkovich thrown in there. I agree with the 7-1 finish, but I think we will lose to Houston. While the San Fran defense is excellent, they don't have a great pass rush, and the Pats tend to struggle against teams with a good pass rush and a good offense. San Fran offense is okay, but they will not be able to keep pace. I think the second seed in the AFC is a probability. Well, if they go 7-1, even if the loss is to Houston, Mike, I would tend to agree. I think that the second seed behind Houston is still gettable. But even at 7-1, you're still going to have Baltimore lose twice. I think you're going to have Baltimore lose twice. Baltimore's what, 6-2? So Baltimore would have to finish behind the Patriots. Yeah, I think I may have misspoken earlier. The Patriots go 6-2 and finish 11-5. Then the Ravens would have to go 4-4. I misspoke. They would have to lose twice. They have to lose four times.
Yeah, because we lose the tiebreaker.
We lose the tiebreaker. So they would have to be 10-6 for us to have the advantage over Baltimore.
That's why I'm most upset over that meltdown.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, that really hurts. It'll hurt. We said it at the time, Kevin.
Yeah, I'd rather have melted down against just the Cardinals.
Right. Right, that one could have been forgivable. Yes, but that's why the Baltimore meltdown really hurts badly, because
it not only kills you in terms of head to head, but conference records, like one of the most important tiebreakers.
Correct, it is a tiebreaker. So 6-2 isn't going to cut it, folks. 6-2, you're not going to get a bye, unless Baltimore goes 4-4. 7-1, you're in the running, but still, Baltimore has to go 6-2, even if you go 7-1.
I'll take it even a step further. I think they need to run it to get a bye. I think they're going to be the 3 seed unless they go 8-0 in the second half.
Well, it could be. Could be. If they go 8-0, then I think you're right. It's a shoe-in. I think at 13-3, they got a bye.
The schedule, other than coming up here, is pretty soft.
Well, look at it statistically, okay? If you go 8-0 and run the table, Baltimore still has to lose twice.
Yeah, they have some. I remember looking. They have like 3 or 4 good opponents, or good games that I would say, where they have a good chance to lose. Houston only had a couple. They didn't have much.
So, at any rate, the Houston game is still going to be the game for the Patriots in terms of if they can win the other ones. The Houston game is the big one in terms of the possibility of finishing either the 2 or the 3. If you run the table and you beat Houston, you might have a chance at the one if Houston stumbles one more time. Because they've got one loss, right? Houston's got one?
They have one. They have Buffalo, which they're going to win.
Yeah.
At Chicago could be challenging just because Chicago has a very good defense. I mean, I think we're all in the same place on Cutler. We're not all that impressed
right.
with him.
Right.
But Chicago's pretty well-rounded. So, you know, that could be a stumble. It's an 8:20, you know, Sunday night game. Should be a big game. Then they have Jacksonville. Yeah. They have at Detroit, which is, you know, Detroit's getting better, I guess, but still I expect them to win that game. I expect Houston to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
At Tennessee, I expect them to win. Then they come up here, which I'd say is their probably second challenging game in the second half. Then they have Indy twice in Minnesota, which is, so you could really make the argument they only have two really challenging games.
What was the other one besides us again?
At Chicago.
Chicago, yeah. And I'm not sure I like that one either because of Cutler, as you said. So, yeah, I think you could certainly make a case for Houston being able to, look at a strong 7-1.
Yeah, that to me, I remember looking right after we lost that Baltimore game and looking at the rest of their schedule and being pretty underwhelmed and kind of like, oh, we're in trouble here. Baltimore, on the other hand, they've got two losses, which is big. They have at Cleveland, which they're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
They have Oakland at home, which they're going to win. But then they get into a tough patch here. They have at Pittsburgh, tough game. Always been a tough game. At San Diego, that team's underachieving, but always seems to find their footing as we get later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh at home, at Washington, which is going to be
that won't be an easy one.
They have Denver at home.
That won't be an easy
one.
They
have the Giants at home.
That definitely is not an easy one.
And
see,
then they close out at Cincinnati. So
Baltimore's got a tough schedule.
Yeah.
That's a tough schedule in the second half for Baltimore.
Yeah. But the only problem with the Patriots is you're spotting them a two-game lead.
Right.
You know, one obviously in the loss column and then one with the tie.
You could easily, though, see Baltimore lose two or three games in there.
Oh, absolutely. But that just means, though, the Patriots have to be close to perfect.
Patriots have to be, as we said, 7-1.
Yeah. So, I mean, Baltimore at least has a shot at losing some games. I think Houston could very easily finish, 14-2 this season. So,
well, there you go, Pats fans. I mean, quite honestly, that's your competition right there for the one or the two spot in the AFC playoffs. It's Houston and it's Baltimore. Clearly, Baltimore has the tougher road to hoe, and Houston and the Patriots have the easier road. So you've got to make hay while you have it. And I think 7-1 would help get you there.
Yeah, not to mention, we're talking about schedules, but also Baltimore's lost a lot of guys.
Injury-wise, that's true.
Up. And a lot of, Haloti Ngata playing through some stuff. Looks like he's in tough shape. You lose Ray Lewis. Terrell Suggs coming off that surgery. He just doesn't look the same to me yet. Maybe he will be at some point this season. But so that defense is getting old and they're getting slow. But, on the flip side, their offense has been something that we haven't seen from them. They're far more dynamic this year than they have been in years past.
Joe Flacco has learned how to play quarterback for the most part. All right, Ross in Canada says he gives the offense an A-. Most points in the league, yet they still haven't found the stride. If we come back healthy as expected post-bye, Tom will be slinging in the first half of games, and the running backs will be dominant in the third and fourth quarters. Defense is C. I wrestled with this. The fronts and the run defense are bringing it week after week. The team's nose for turnovers helps cover the stink of the secondary. Safety and corner play is our Achilles. Special teams, I give them a B largely thanks to Gostkowski's clutch kicks of late. Take away McCourty's return. We haven't done anything spectacular on kickoff or punt returns. Our coverage on kicks has been subpar. We have to be special on special teams. Predictions, home field bound come playoff time, 8-0 post bye. I don't see us losing at home or at all for that matter again this year. Obviously, Houston and San Fran are the money games. We've seen what happens to Houston when they run into a juggernaut offense, i.e. Packers or Texans, i.e. the Packers-Texans games, I should say. As for the 49ers, our offense, healthy at home, Sunday nighter, wins that about every time. Second half AFC predictions. Houston loses to us and to Chicago, which, by the way, will give us the one seed again. Baltimore slips up in the second half, dragged down by injuries, and they finish 11-5 to take the North. Denver takes the West with ease. Pittsburgh and I have no clue will take the wild card spots. Miami or Indy? Really? Well, Indy's won four games. I know. And the Finns. listen, if Miami ends up beating the Patriots, one of the two that they've got to play them over the next eight, I would have to say, yeah, you might be right. You can't forget about, you can't sleep on the Dolphins. Overrated, he says, Chung and Lloyd. Underrated, Spikes and Ninkovich. This team is an A overall, maintains its spot on the upper echelon of not just the mediocre 2012 version of the AFC, but the NFL as a whole. Tom is right. We are spoiled. Chad, here are my midseason grades. Offense A, defense C, special teams B minus. The defense is a tricky grade because I believe that we have one of the best run-stopping defenses in the NFL. But if we pressured the quarterback more efficiently, I'm 100% sure we would have a more productive defensive back core and have a better all-around defense. Our DBs have talent. I just think that a lot of scrub QBs are getting way too much time in the pocket. You know as well as I do that the more time the quarterback has, the harder it is on your DBs. Very true. Underrated player will always be Danny Woodhead. Overrated player, Brandon Lloyd. Love the show. Keep up the good work. We'll do that, Chad. Thank you. All right, back to the phones here. What is this first one here?
Mr. Liff.
Mr. Liff in Boston?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. How you doing, Mr. Rook?
Mr. Liff, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Mr. Liff is actually my performance name. I'm a Boston-born and raised musician who, I travel internationally entertaining crowds. So,
God bless you. That's great.
Well, thank you, man, and long-time diehard Patriots fan. And I just got to say that I'm kind of sick of this mentality, like that we need to get the first round bye in order to go win a Super Bowl. I just feel like, we've all seen the Patriots lose to the Giants in the last two Super Bowls that they appeared in, and I just kind of left those games feeling like, okay, the Giants were just a tougher team. You know, they show up with a bruising running game. You know, a fullback that can, block for guys that are already tough to tackle. And I look back at history and I see the Steelers, ran the table, and I think it was 05 when they beat the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts actually didn't they play in the wild card round when they won their, they actually beat us in the AFC championship and then went on to beat the Bears in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And the Giants have not had a bye in their last two Super Bowl wins. And, you know, for me, I'm just like, what's up? Can we man up and just be that team? I'm like, don't get the bye. Go, you'll have a home game or two, and I believe probably one, they don't get the bye. How many home games would they have if they don't get the bye?
If they don't get the bye, it depends on if they win the division or not.
You're guaranteed
one.
Okay.
So that's why if you get the bye, if you win the first game, you're going to get at least a second one, right?
Yeah.
So you're guaranteed one if you get the two seed. If you're the one seed, then if you keep winning, you're going to play out at home. You're going to play for the AFC Championship at home.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, my favorite Patriots Super Bowl run, I mean, I loved, obviously, 03 was amazing. But my favorite Patriots playoff game is when they went to Pittsburgh in 04 and just smacked them on their home field.
Right.
Just like, I want the opportunity to do that to Baltimore or to Houston. I just feel like, look, the Patriots are the best team in the league. They should be able to go do it, get it done anywhere. That's how I feel about it,
That's fair. And I think a lot of, hardcore football fans would probably agree with you. But, here's the thing. You win the division, you're going to get a home game, but you've got to play an extra game. And there's nobody in their right mind that wants to go play an extra game just because it's the right thing to do. You'd much rather be sitting out watching who you're going to play so you can take advantage of the time off to rest your wounded before the playoffs start.
I do understand. I completely understand that mentality. I know that it is. What any team in the right mind should desire. But I'm just saying that in the event that the chips don't fall that way, I don't want to go into the playoffs feeling like the Patriots can't get it done because they have to play four games.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's fair, and that's a fair, way to look at it. I just know that, that doesn't affect the guys one way or the other. Their goal is going to be to win as much as they can, and once all is said and done, if that gives them a bye and an opportunity to sit out the first week, that's what they're going to go after, believe me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, well, I got high hopes for this season. I like what I saw against the Rams. I'm really hoping that they kind of unlock something that will guide them through this last part of the season, John. And big-time fan of the show, and definitely keep up the good work.
Mr. Liff, I thank you for the phone call. Don't be a stranger.
I will not.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right, so there we go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge, welcome to the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I sort of agree and disagree with the last caller, but I understand what you're getting at, though. If they play straight through, they got to fill up the game. They got it already, drilling pump, they still playing.
Yeah.
But also see what you're saying. In case we have a major injury, that could cost us the game also.
Of course it can. I mean? Yeah, absolutely.
So I can see both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'd rather, like you had that first round bye, so we sit back. But sometimes team in the first round bye comes out flat.
Well, that's something I'm sure that we'll hopefully have an opportunity to really talk about and discuss later. But, yeah, that is always the case. We saw that happen a couple of years ago with Baltimore here. So, you hope that doesn't happen. But I think all things being equal, you'd still rather have the week off so you can allow, your bumps and your bruises to heal up.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too. But as far as getting back to right in the office, y'all still doing it?
Yeah. I want you to give me your grades, Eldridge. Go. You've seen this team enough. You're certainly qualified.
Well, for the offense, I give them an A. Running back, I give them an A. Line, B+, because sometimes they play together, sometimes they don't.
Okay.
And when it's in the blitzes or whatever. Tight ends, most definitely an A. Even though we got Sales, Shenanko, and Ballard not playing,
Mm-hmm.
But I get them A because all them tight ends we got. Receivers, B-.
Okay.
Defensive line, got to give them a B+. Linebackers, I give an A. Cornerbacks, safeties, I got to give them a C, maybe a D.
Okay.
Because
you're probably being generous with that C, Eldridge.
I'm not being that generous. I'm trying to say, but be honest with you, a D.
Yeah.
Because for all the cover skills and zones, I mean, every time they drop back zones, it's like Dan said, son, how they attack it when they drop back zone, they throw the halfback out in the flat or tight end, they go for 18, 20 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They just hurt them get back deep, but they ain't looking at who's coming in their zone. And that's elementary, But as far as this, everything else, I'm pretty satisfied, but secondary, it scares me. It really worries me.
Sure.
Because I'm thinking if we get back to Super Bowl again and it's not going to be easy like it was a couple of years ago, I'm thinking about another letdown with secondary. I ain't thinking about Brady in the office letting us down because time shows again and again, he brought us back, put us ahead, but defense dropped us both times.
Right.
And I'm not putting it on Brady in the office.
Right. Okay.
So we talked about that earlier, but
yeah,
I'm not putting it on Brady.
Right. Right.
How
about an underrated player, Eldridge?
Underrated. Wendell.
Okay, Ryan Wendell.
I think he's doing doing a darn good job.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah, whoever they put in front of him, like the Rams front four, and then the Cardinals. I mostly watched him against the Cardinals. He handled that nose tackle.
Yeah.
He handled it by himself, and like I said, sometimes Soldiers, he does good, sometimes he don't. And Cannon, I don't know. I don't want to see him in there sometimes. Because he worried me on the right side.
Right.
Not on the left side.
Right. Okay.
But Wendell, I think, is underrated.
I think that's a good choice. I have to admit.
Overrated?
Yep.
Brandon Lord.
Yeah. We had that discussion a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I think Brandon Lloyd took a fair share of the votes a couple of weeks ago as well. I know he did come up with a couple of scores this last week, but I think there were some that thought he'd have more of an ability to stretch the field than what we've really seen. And I don't know if that's mostly his doing or if that really is really by design, that they're just keeping him in and they're not letting him loose. A couple of times that they've let him loose, he hadn't held on to the ball.
Right, and a couple of times he didn't run a good corner, a secondary corner, suspect corner he has, but like Peterson and the guy that plays for Seattle,
mm-hmm.
Brown,
mm-hmm.
He could not run, he could not distance.
Right.
But this is like I said before about Lloyd. Not for the Lloyd when he was playing with San Francisco. When T.O. and Street was the man, he just wanted the board.
Mm-hmm.
But like Man said Sunday, he was a Rams leading receiver. When he's the top guy, he's on. And Denver, too. But when he ain't the top guy, to me, he just falls off. That's just my assessment.
Okay.
The one I've seen, the one I know.
Okay, that's good.
So all the other catches, he making all them circus catches or whatever. And Brady hit him dead in the chest over the defensive back, and he dropped it.
Right.
Any other time, he wouldn't have dropped that.
Right.
That's what I got to say.
Gotcha.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Good stuff, Eldridge. We'll talk again soon, I'm very sure. Let me finish up with some emails here. This one comes from Chad, who says, no nitpicks, honestly, after that win. Offense, he's going to grade them with an A. Well, hard not to give that grade since they're number one in every possible offensive category. Defense, a B+. I think that's the highest grade we've gotten on a defense today. Hey, they're stout against the run. They're number one in the league in defensive turnovers. I refuse to criticize the secondary until enough people criticize the Texans' secondary when they got clobbered by the Packers. Special teams, B+. Guys are making plays. Underrated offensive player, Nate Solder. Guy was bashed the entire offseason by these embarrassing local media. I haven't heard his name called since week one, and how he has delivered remarkably. And his underrated defensive player is Kyle Love. Dude can play. All right, Chad, thank you for that. Good stuff. Let's see where we are here. And next one. This one comes from Blake. And he says, my midseason grades are offense B+. Reason, while the team does lead the league in points per game, it's mainly due to a pair of blowouts, Buffalo and St. Louis, rather than a steady stream of offensive dominance. Through 8 weeks, we've seen some rather shoddy play. I still want to see receivers and tight ends catch balls that hit them in the hands, especially on third down. When we get better execution, they'll get a better grade. Whoo! Blake, I don't want you as a prof, that's for sure. Defense, C-. For obvious reasons, I'd go into each week with more than a little trepidation, irrespective of who the opposing quarterback is. I came into the season looking for a re-energized defensive effort. Thought I'd gotten it against the Titans. But alas, here we are, making Sanchez look like a true Sanchez. I hope to see more of Dennard at right corner, opposite McCourty, and I'm still expecting improvement down the stretch. It's a fair grade. Special teams B. All of the kicking coverage return units have had their issues. Outside of McCourty's touchdown return against the Jets, I haven't felt much of a spark. I do expect more, given Bill's long history with coaching the unit. Until I see better coverage and more energetic returns, they'll be middling to me. Well, a B is not exactly a middling grade. Coaching, B. Overall lack of execution and questionable play calling or game prep in some games leaves me giving a high middle grade. I hope health improves the roster and the coaching staff gets more seasoned as the season moves on. Overall team grade is a B. I think we're on the upward trend. I hope we can get hot and run the table all the way to another championship. His underrated player. Not a player, but O-line coach Dante Scarnecchia. Taking that group of men with such a large amount of turnover and turning them into a strong starting unit is truly Herculean. Props to Coach Scarnecchia. Nice email. Okay, and Ross has his playoff predictions here. He says, let's say Patriots, Ravens, Texans, Broncos win the divisions. Who takes the wild cards? Pittsburgh and... And then he says in the NFC, Giants, Bears, Falcons, Niners win their divisions. Same question. Packers and, well, I think right now you'd have to say that both of those other wild cards are open. I'm not entirely certain that Green Bay and or Pittsburgh in the respective conferences are shoe-ins for wild cards. Certainly in the AFC, Miami's going to get some run. I really, as bad as they played, I don't think you can count the Jets out. I don't think you can count San Diego out. I don't think you can completely count out Cincinnati. As far as the NFC is concerned, you know, they've got a real jumble in there. You could probably pick one of about a half a dozen teams in the NFC, kind of like we just did in the AFC. Any one of the NFC East teams could get hot, even though I think Cowboys and Eagles are 3-4 and the Redskins are 3-5. Lions... Maybe Seattle. I don't know. You know, St. Louis has three wins. I don't think St. Louis is a playoff team, but you know, again, they're within earshot or eye shot, as the case may be. All right, let's get to some Facebook posts because we got a bunch of those today as well. So I want to make sure that we do cover some of those today. Wow, now the page is messing up on me here. It's a little bit slow. There we go. Now we're back. Let's go with, we got to get all these posts in here. Some of them have come in hot and heavy.
All right, Daryl says on Facebook, he says, John, I see at least six games that the Ravens could lose, especially given their offensive woes. I'm picking the Browns over them this weekend. Well, Daryl, if that happens, then honestly, the Ravens are certainly in a world of hurt, and that would take them out of the equation, especially if they lose to Cleveland this weekend. Michael says, let's go with underrated, Dan Connolly. With him in the lineup, the rest of the line positions are more stable. And as far as his grades, defense gets a C. They're average, making some good stops, but do not get off the field enough, give up too much yardage, give teams too many chances. Offense gets a B. Too many stalled drives resulting in field goal attempts or punts, too many drops by players, but they do enough to win games and have a lead in the division. Special teams gets a B+. Gostowski's kickoffs are solid. Mesko does a job with punts. Aiken does a good job on snaps. They don't get an A because Gostowski has fallen short in some clutch kicks. He says, interesting analysis regarding the seeding, but even if we don't have the one or two, all is not lost. We may do well as a road team in the playoffs, and then they'll have to rely on each other. And that may add to the cohesiveness of the team. Thanks, Michael. And Mary Beth, she chimes in with her underrated. She says, Woodhead is so underrated. You know, and I think that Danny Woodhead is long going to be thought of as the underrated player. I mean, look at the guy, first of all. Look at his size. How can you not call him underrated when you're 5 foot nothing out there? But he is fulfilling the role that the Patriots are asking him to fulfill. So this brings us to underrated players that we've had mentioned today. We've had Danny Woodhead. We've even had Tom Brady. We've had Dan Connolly. We've had Ryan Wendell on the offense mentioned. On the defense, we've had Kyle Love mentioned. We've even had Devin McCourty mentioned and Alphonso Dennard mentioned. So that brings us to what, 7, 8 different players that we've had mentioned today? So that's about what we called. So that's 6 to 8, somewhere in that vicinity, and that's about right. Now, also on Facebook, the posts, our friend Cat in Chicago posts with, John, great show, listening while at my construction site. Thanks for making the work run faster. You are welcome, Cat. Construction site. That's just not right. How can someone that looks that good and looks like a librarian work in a construction site? I don't know. Cat?
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
I want to go on record as saying that was Kevin that played that, okay? Not me. That was Kevin. Cat says, overall, offense is a B. Quarterback is an A. Wide receiver is a B. Would be much lower if not for Welker. That's a good point. Tight end a B, despite the health issues. Still two of the best tight ends in the NFL. On the O-line, it's a B-. Last game, they showed marked improvements, but they have to show more consistency. True. Running backs, A+. May not be as flashy as the other marquee running back core, but they do pack a real wallop. Defense overall, a C. She gives an A to the tackles. Wilfork and Love have been the anchor. Without them, it falls apart. The ends, she gives a C+. They've shown sparks, but I still want a more aggressive and consistent pass rush. I'll be looking for more improvements in player development in the second half of the season. Linebackers, B, solid play. Want to see more spikes in Hightower making big plays. Defensive backs, D, no explanation necessary. And special teams, A-. Zoltan the Puntinator is a monster. Gostowski has gotten it back together, good tackling, and only a couple of missteps on coverage and returns. Yeah, there you go. Cat, she's good. Grade A on the grades you've given out there. Chris writes in this note, though, on Facebook. He says, anyone else notice we've lost to a bunch of birds? Well, we lost to the Ravens, we lost to the Cardinals, and we lost to the Seahawks. Yeah, so we've lost to birds. Do we have any birds left on the schedule? I don't think we do, do we? That means we're not losing anymore. It's that simple. Dagmar says, John and Eric from earlier. Good show as usual. Congrats to Eric on his new friend. I think the guys at PFW will not stop until they see a picture. There's no question about that. By the way, Eric, they did show the conversation between Ridley and his position coach on TV. He was sitting on the bench while Fears was telling him something. And I think it was right after first down or a touchdown play. And it caught my attention because of that. Interesting. I did not see that. I did not see that earlier. Ray, says his midseason report card here. Offense B+. They've been real good when they need to be. They've left too many important plays on the field in close games too many times. They've failed to convert on third downs in the middle of the fourth quarter and allowed the opposing team a chance to come back. Defense is a B-. The secondary holding the defense back. I'm not convinced their performance in last weekend's game is their new standard. You know, that's an interesting point, Ray, because I think we have to see the secondary have at least back-to-back performances before you can say, okay, they've now made some strides. So I'm like you, I'm going to kind of withhold until we see how they come back out again. Special teams, A+. I see this unit making big stops and early tackles after every kickoff. I never worry about an opposing team running the ball back with this group. More often I see our special teams crew burying a team close to their own end zone each time. And then coaching, B-. I expect more from McDaniels, and I hope we see a better coaching strategy after the bye. Okay. That's probably fair. I'm just, that's been a concern. That has been a concern over the course of the last couple of weeks. We've talked about play calling being an issue, and I think that a lot of times it gets overlooked because the team is producing. It's producing yards. It's producing points. Let's see. Did I have anything else here? Paul on Facebook says, John, great win on Sunday. Hugely enjoyable game. The only nitpicks I had are the D on the opening possession, giving up the big touchdown play, and I guess a couple of drops on offense, having to settle for a field goal, and a couple of punts in the second half. Secondary still concerns me if the front seven don't bring enough pressure. And better teams than the Rams will doubtlessly do more damage to them, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And we did that well on both sides of the ball. Finally, the atmosphere was fantastic in our section, so a huge high five to all the other UK Patriots who were present for making it a great day out. I'm sure it was an excellent day out. It sounds like it from all of the stories that I got, from all of the Facebook posts, the tweets that I got, and it's great to see that there were a lot of good comments from folks who hit up my Facebook page and sent me tweets after the game was completed. All right, kids, don't forget tomorrow. We'll still be here, and tomorrow will be Game Show Wednesday on a Thursday. And the reason we didn't do it today was because we had the skip over of the Patriots Monday programming from yesterday. So the opening hour from 2 until 3 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow, you'll want to be here. We're going to ask some football and or NFL/Patriots-related questions, match game style. We'll have our panelists here. You'll be asked to call in. Got to do this one on the phone, kids, tomorrow. So make sure you take some time between 2 and 3 to call in so you can play a little Game Show Thursday with us. And Russell Baxter will also join us from ProFootballGuru.com in the second hour to look over the Week 9 in the National Football League season. So that's coming up in the playbook tomorrow. It's one of our fun days of the entire season. Don't miss it. See you tomorrow, everybody. Don't forget, Kerry Burns coming up next, Cold Hard Football Facts.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.